I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Now, I had a couple different options of what I could talk about today. And one, I thought about being super positive and just kind of throwing some numbers at you that I thought were really cool that had to do with Derek Carr. But, nah, man, I can't do it. I got to roll with the theme of the day and what the theme of the day should be, which, in my opinion, is accountability. Accountability. And this is why I'm angry. This is why I believe Scott's angry, and I believe that Raider Nation should be angry, is because the accountability has just not been there. When it comes to Trent Brown, when it comes to, you know, just the Raiders in general going back, man. I mean, look how many times these guys have been fined. Coach has been fined. Player has been fined. Team's been penalized. I mean, there's been a lot of just kind of flubbing. Let's put it like that. I guess that's the best way I could put it without saying something illegal on the radio. I mean, they've just done what they can to kind of skate around the different protocols that they're supposed to be following as far as this COVID-19 goes. And, you know, a lot of folks say, well, let's hear Trent Brown's side of stories with everything going on with his tracking monitor. And this is the latest man from Vinny Bonsignor, who's going to follow us up. And I know we'll talk to him about this as well. He said, according to a source, Raiders Trent Brown not always wearing his tracking monitor really impacted things. Had he done the right thing, and I want to highlight that, it would have been easy to determine who among the offensive linemen and Jonathan Abram were high-risk contact. But, and I want to highlight this, because he didn't, there was really no other choice but to deem everyone high-risk contacts. Meaning, the NFL couldn't make a judgment, so they had to call them all high-risk, and they might not be high-risk guys. But because that tracking device was not on Trent Brown's arm like it was supposed to be all the time, they have no idea. So they just said, well, the hell with it. They're all high risk, and they're all going to be out 5 days at least. And so now they can't get out there till at least Sunday, you know, and that's unfortunate, because if they weren't high risk, they could have been at practice today. That's why I'm angry at Trent Brown, because he single-handedly broke down the offensive line by just not following his own protocol.
Right. If he had worn the device and tested positive, fine. Then they are able to track and determine who was in close proximity.
Exactly.
And clear those folks. Okay. Yep. But because of his asinine behavior and taking it off or whatever, I don't care what the reason is. There's no good reason.
No.
So he took it off. Remember, too, folks, this is so important to me, at least, and I hope some of you agree. The players agreed to these rules. They agreed to sign up for this.
Right.
It is their prerogative that they are wearing these devices. That was part of the deal so they could get on the field. They made that deal with the NFL. So that's, you asked for it, and then you wouldn't do it. And now your team loses a Sunday night game. So all of these Raider fans out there that are saying, oh, there's the NFL screwing us again. And I'm not saying the NFL hasn't screwed the Raiders, because I've documented it several times. But in this case, Trent Brown screwed you. Just make it clear.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
and I also wanted to shout out to Mo Moten, who will join us, I know, on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
But he's the one who tweeted out the word of today is accountability. And I said, you know what? That's spot on, Mo. That's going to be the Q-tip today. So shout out to Mo Moten. I didn't want to, you know, take credit, all credit myself.
Yes. Okay, we're going to go down to the sage of Cajun country, and that, of course, is Steven in New Orleans. Steven, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are y'all? So since I've never been asked this question, I just want to say, when Trent was eating his Pop-Tarts, if he would have toasted them, maybe he would not have eaten his cracker devices. It was too hot. I just had to bring a little levity to the show. I know it's Thursday, and we're all upset. But you know what? We're going to win anyway. Cable's going to be on that computer on the Zoom call, teaching the guys the different techniques they're going to use to block. Derek's going to find his inner, I hate Tom Brady because they thought about bringing him to replace me. And somehow we're going to win. I can't tell you why I feel that way. I think sometimes adversity makes the cream rise to the top. And I guess I'm just an eternal optimistic Raider fan. So there you go.
I love
nothing
that.
Wrong with that.
No,
that's a great call. Even the Pop-Tart comment, that was hilarious.
It was hilarious, Steven.
And, you know, look, the Raiders could still go out there and win the game. I'm not saying that, oh, it's doomed because they have these issues and these challenges in front of them. It's just not. It's less than ideal. Let's put it like that.
No, I agree. But you know what? At the same time, and I'm Steven again, thank you for your call, brother. I'm going to take Steven's train of thought and extend it a little bit and say, listen, what better way for this team to really take that next step up than despite a week of distractions because a player wouldn't wear his tracking device, they get on the field and despite more adversity, they overcome it and win. It would be amazing for them. And they can, you know, I'm not saying they can't do it. I'm saying,
yeah, they absolutely can still win. Mm-hmm. It's just more challenging.
It is more challenging. I mean, that battle, that uphill battle, just because it was going to be a tough game either way. I would have liked the Raiders. If this at all not happened and it was a normal week, I really was ready to pick the Raiders to win the game. I really was.
Oh, I did. I picked the Raiders to win this game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I really did, too. I just thought, coming home, they have so much motivation ready to go. Now I'm not as certain. I think it could go a different way, but we'll have to see. We'll see what Raider Dave, our good friend up in Denver, has to say. Are you shoveling snow, Raider Dave?
Oh, no, not till Sunday. The more misery to not be able to watch my team in the evening. I had great plans for it.
Yeah, so many people did.
Yeah, I wouldn't be bummed at all if they moved this off to Monday. Give them a day to practice together, at least. I think that would be okay. We'll find out what happens with everybody's negative test, I guess, tomorrow. But, you know, there's something about Brown that always just reminded me of a guy smiling as he walked away from the table that he got the last bag of peanut M&Ms. I mean, he just always kind of has that grin on his face where, yep, I got it, you know, and I don't know if the guy's desire is there anymore. I think Q's got a good point about if we can get out from underneath this huge contract without costing some money, then maybe now is the time. Otherwise, I certainly don't see him lasting past the end of the year. But I think that, and I don't know the timeline for Incognito. I hope it's soon, you know, he could come back. But I'd like to give some props to some of these other guys that have played behind them and have been in the tutelage of Cable. I mean, some of these guys, I bet you can't even name the center, you know. But these guys can do the job. Can they do it to the ability of the starters? Well, probably not. Do they have the contract of the starters? Well, definitely not. So I'm excited for these guys in their own mind to have an opportunity to show what they've got. And I think when you look at Good and Young, they haven't played too bad.
Right.
No.
Simpson, too.
Yeah, Simpson's been fine. Andre James, you know, we've seen him play before. He's the center, and has done an okay job. I mean, he's not Rodney Hudson. We can't compare him to Rodney Hudson.
It's the other guard, I think, that I can't pronounce his name or I don't remember it. But yeah, you're right.
Omame.
I was thinking of the other guy.
Patrick Omame.
Omame. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and so that too, and then we know Sam Young is a capable pro, right?
Right, and I think with, you know, what else can Gruden do? He's got to go with a 22 set. He's got to keep in two tight ends. He's got to have another guy in there to help protect. But this lends in the small ball game of old school football that Gruden loves. And to get a tight end to escape and hit him, that's great. To pitch out to Mariota, if they bring him in, he could do halfback pass to Ruggs all the way downfield. You know, I think that Mariota can run a pitch to one side as far as being the ball carrier. I mean, this kind of brings up some opportunity to put some stuff out on the field that Brady and those guys, not that Brady's playing defense, but that they haven't seen yet. And I think that's exciting, too, to watch, to see what Gruden comes up with.
Yeah, Dave, great call, man, as always. Thank you so much. And you're right, you have to adapt. And the thing that concerns me, Q, is if you have to go with a complete backup offensive line, and hopefully that's not the case, but if you had to, is just if somebody goes down with an injury, then what do you do, right? And the whole next man up thing that Levi talked about and that the coaches and the players always talk about is great in theory until you run out of guys to step up.
Right, and again, like I mentioned earlier in the show, it's great in theory, and everyone sells it and says it, and every once in a while it's true. But again, if the next man up was as good as the man that's there, they wouldn't be the next man up.
That's right. All right, we're going out to California, and we're bringing in the caller, Jay. Jay, you're on with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, QA Scott. It's Jay Nader.
What's up, brother? So,
talking about the whole, next man up mentality and everything like that, we know, worst case scenario, the second guys are going to come up and do their thing. With that, I mean, any injury, we're completely out. What do you guys think about the practice squad guys with, who is it, Magnuson and Jared Smith-Jones?
Yeah, I mean,
getting them aggravated.
Yeah, Jay, you'd have to. That's what would happen if indeed you were without all of your offensive linemen and you had to go next man up across the board. You'd have to bring up guys. You'd be able to do that because they would be on the COVID list extended, and they would be able to bring up players. That was part of the agreement too.
Think about this: the NFL says that the Raiders have to have. Well, not the Raiders, but you're supposed to be able to dress out 48, right?
Correct.
8 must be offensive linemen. The Raiders, if all their guys are out, only have 7.
Right.
They have 5 on the 53 man and 2 on the practice squad. So they can't even dress 48 out for Sunday.
Yeah, they would
think about that.
They would have to designate somebody as an offensive lineman, which I don't know that they can do.
Exactly. You can't dress 48.
No. Wow.
Think about that. They have 7 offensive linemen. Shout out to Paul Gutierrez. He tweeted that out.
The Q with the good news.
Sounds good.
Harbinger of death. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 702-365-9200. How are you feeling about all this COVID crisis with the Raiders? And then, of course, we'll be joined by Vinny Bonsignor, who's had the quick Twitter hand today, working on all this for the Review Journal. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.